Jamal Murray's got it. 5 seconds left. Murray dribbles right. 3, 2, Murray for the win. Good. Nuggets win it.
Wow, Nuggets radio not pulling any punches there. What a comeback by Denver last night. They take care of the Lakers, who had a 20-point lead in this game, Perloff. It was devastating if you're LA, because you felt like you finally had a chance. You finally had a chance to beat the Nuggets, something you haven't done now in the last 10 tries. I mean, if you are going to try to make anything out of the end of LeBron's career here, beating the Nuggets is going to be essential, and last night was a gut punch.
Yeah, they could have used that one, Maggie. I'm not going to lie to you. I think they finally break this streak here in L.A., because I do think the home court advantage made a big difference for the Nuggets. A couple calls that maybe would have gone the Lakers' way in L.A. The altitude, I think, is a real thing. I think that you say after two games you should be used to it. I feel like this is close enough where the Nuggets, Lakers are going to at least win a game. I don't think they're going to win the series. I think the Nuggets are going to win the NBA title. So that's the thing. Like, the Lakers just... is this bad luck that they just drew the... If the NBA had any logic, the Nuggets would be the one seed, the Lakers would be facing the T-Wolves or the Thunder, they would advance, but unfortunately they're running into Denver.
Well, I don't know if it's the NBA had any logic. I think it's the Lakers who, you know, right after the play-in tournament, which they won, not the play-in tournament, the in-season tournament, pardon me, the inaugural in-season tournament, which they won, after that they kind of went on this skid. It felt like they really expended a lot of energy to win that mid-season tournament, which kind of meant nothing. And now, you know, here they are, where they're, listen, they've got their two best players who are healthy, and they've lost to the Nuggets every which way. Okay, we put the basketball conversation on hold just for a moment, because we have to get to one of our good friends and someone whose opinion we value more than anyone when it comes to the NFL draft, and that is Jim Nagy. He's the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl and was a longtime scout in the NFL. Jim, thanks so much for the time. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, guys. It's good we're transitioning away from hoops to do a little draft. I can't believe there's a show that's not talking about draft right now. I love it.
Yeah, well, for the Laker fans, they get a reprieve now. We're going to talk about the draft for a couple minutes. They don't have to remember how bad that was last night. Let's start with the quarterbacks, because don't we always? J.J. McCarthy, I'm curious if you can put your scout hat on, something you did and made a career of for so long. How would you judge McCarthy? I think this is difficult, because his body of work, while a champion and an impressive resume, it doesn't really match up with a lot of other quarterbacks in this draft class.
Yeah, Maggie, this evaluation for me was a little backwards. You know, we invited JJ to the Senior Bowl. They just had that long season. We actually had some Michigan guys that had accepted invites to come here and play in the game. And after that long season, they didn't play. I think we ended up with five or six Michigan guys. But, you know, I didn't really do like a deep dive into JJ until a few weeks ago, when the narrative was really set. Usually, like, we've already seen 75% of the Power 5 players for next year in the office already. So I was playing from behind, so it was a little bit different. But I see everything that everyone's saying about J.J. McCarthy. Like, this isn't some fabricated thing. This kid can play. He's a really good decision maker. He's good on the move. He's a really good athlete. I wish he would have tested. You know, this quarterback class, the only guy that tested this whole group was Michael Penix. And I think if we started the process and asked, you know, who is going to be the least athletic of these guys, it was probably going to be Michael Penix. And then he runs 4.55, you know, 4.52, depending on what scout you talk to. All these other guys were going to roll. So I wish JJ would have tested. I'll say this, you know, I think the knock right now, or the skeptics when it comes to JJ, are that he didn't have to do a lot, right? Like, Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards in the running game, like, they kind of drove the bus there in Ann Arbor. But I think sometimes it's harder to play quarterback when you're put in third and long situations and red zone situations, and you got to come up with a throw when you haven't been throwing it 40 times a game and you're kind of out of rhythm. And I really think JJ, you know, excelled in those situations. So I understand people wish they would have seen this guy put the team on his back, but he's a good player. Somebody's going to get a really good player.
Like top 10, like a top 10 grade?
I could see it, because, I mean, you've got teams like, you know, Minnesota and the Giants, teams, I mean, they're in that quarterback conversation. I mean, shoot, I mean, look at the Saints. I mean, we're 2 hours from New Orleans, so I'm kind of, you know, in tune with what the Saints need. That's another team that's kind of quarterback hungry. So you look at some of these regimes as well, you know, head coach, GM, they need to make a move. sometimes when you make the move, it buys you some time as well. So that's something that's not being talked about right now. But there's some guys that if they make that move, they probably extend their time with the team at least a year or so.
I want to ask about one of your former teams, Jim. The Seattle Seahawks have kind of been linked to Michael Penix, who was in Seattle with Washington, same offensive coordinator. Feels like the perfect fit of all fits. But your former boss, John Schneider, has never drafted a first-round quarterback. Is there any chance they make an exception and go for Michael Penix?
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Because John came off the Ron Wolf tree, and Ron Wolf was famous for drafting a quarterback every single year, right? Like, you know, draft Aaron Brooks, trade him for a pick. Draft Mark Brunell, trade him for a pick. Matt Hasselbeck, trade him for a pick when they had Brett Favre. So, I can speak to my time in Seattle. I mean, we brought Patrick Mahomes in for a visit that year, the year Mahomes was coming out. It was when Russell's rookie deal was coming up. And I think, you know, and John was enamored with Patrick Mahomes. And I think he saw, okay, if we give Russell this huge deal, that's going to really hamstring what we can do with the Legion of Boom defense contract-wise. So I think his mind has been on a first-round quarterback for a long time. It just hasn't happened. So could I see it happening? Yes, yeah. You mentioned Ryan Grubb, the offensive coordinator is with Michael. Nobody knows him better. It would certainly be a popular pickup there in Seattle if they kept him at home. And you've got a nice succession plan with Geno up there. And don't count out Sam Howell in Seattle either. They really like Sam Howell. So, I mean, Sam Howell would be younger than some of these guys coming out in this draft, and he's got, you know, whatever it is, 18 starts already. So, yeah, I could see Seattle doing that.
Jim Nagy is joining us. He's the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. He's also a longtime scout and helps us break down, well, quarterbacks, but other positions too, Jim. For Michael Penix and Bo Nix, these were two guys who were at the Senior Bowl this year, invitees. If you were scouting still, would you have first round grades on either of those guys?
Yeah, and it's going to sound really biased. I'm sitting in the chair that brought them to this game. I would. And I like them they're very different prospects. You hear a lot of coaches talk about, we want guys that can win from the pocket, right? And I think that's where you've heard a lot of Penix buzz over the last few weeks. And that's because the coaches have had an opportunity to go in the draft room and express their opinions on these players. I think it's, you know, pretty widely known at this point that coaches kind of like Penix more than the scouts do. Scouts kind of picked apart some of the accuracy stuff. The coaches see that they can improve some of that underneath stuff. And he's the best deep ball thrower in the draft. So that would be my case for Penix. And then Bo Nix, man, I think this guy's got picked apart more than anybody because of the age factor. And again, I think all the analytics models, they need to shift a little bit. NIL is keeping these kids in school much longer. You know, reps are a good thing. Experience is a good thing. You're certainly not getting it when you get to the NFL. You're getting thrown to the wolves. So you need to play some football. And this isn't 1985 where quarterbacks have gray beards when they're 32 years old and they retire. You know, these guys are playing, if they're any good, these guys are playing well into their, you know, late 30s to 40. We're seeing all these good ones push it. So age isn't really a factor. I think if you look at what he did at Auburn and Oregon, he's two different players. He's shown the ability to create. When he was at Auburn, he had to run around behind a porous offensive line and do some things off script. And then he goes to Oregon and plays within the structure, and he's the most accurate quarterback in this year's draft. So, yes, I would long-windedly, Maggie, I would have first-round grades on both these guys.
All right, Jim, it sounds like you are of the camp. There might be a lot of quarterbacks in the first round. Maggie and I have been having sort of a back and forth about this. A couple years ago, you went Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, all first-rounders, and it really hasn't worked out well. I think this class are going to be a lot of first-rounders. I feel like there's going to be a lot of hits in this class. I'm making you, it's an unfair to ask you to project, but is it possible we see three or four like long-time productive NFL quarterbacks in this class?
Yeah, why aren't we talking about which guys are going to be traded in the next couple of years? That should be the conversation.
Seventh-round picks. You know.
Forget who's going to be first-round picks. Which of the first-round picks are going to be traded? And again, if you look at that class from a couple years ago, there was a lot of circumstances. You got like a Justin Fields case where he was drafted by a regime that then got pushed out, and now you've got a new regime kind of wanting their guy. I think we all know what happened with Mac Jones in New England with the offensive coaching thing. So, you know, and then Brock Purdy emerges and pushes Trey Lance aside in San Francisco. So unique. But I'm with you. I think this is going to be a class where some of these guys really stick around and become, you know, if not like franchise quarterbacks that are Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, certainly, you know, kind of that middle tier guy that you can win a lot of games with.
Jim Nagy's joining us. He's the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. Also been a scout for a long time. Is going to be on all of this draft coverage coming up in the next couple of days, all up on our TVs. And Jim, we thank you for carving out the time for us. If you were the Commanders, who would you take at two? Would it be Drake May or would it be Jaden Daniels?
Well, I'm a little biased on this one. I didn't see Drake play in a game. I was in Tuscaloosa when Jaden Daniels absolutely shredded that Alabama defense. He was like a wet noodle through, you know, the second level, and then he gets out in space in the deep. He's slippery, man, for a guy that runs upright, kind of like Forrest Gump. I mean, he's really slippery. And then he gets in the open field, and you can't track him down. And then I was sitting at home a couple weeks later and saw what he did against Florida, where he's the first quarterback ever to throw for 300 and rush for 200 in the same game. So I've seen Jaden more. And I'm thinking it from like a defensive coach's perspective, which I know Dan Quinn is doing in Washington, right? Like, how do you defend that guy? That's why I think Washington, that if I had to pick a quarterback for them, I would just think Dan Quinn thinking Jaden Daniels is going to keep you up at night. Trying to figure out a way to stop that guy. So my pick would be Jaden.
Do you think there should have been more discussion about Jaden Daniels versus Caleb Williams for the number one pick, Jim?
Yeah, I think it was a foregone. Yeah, I do. I think it was a foregone conclusion that Caleb was the guy since we started the college season. That, you know, you get people out there throwing the generational term on Caleb Williams, and then it, like, the train was down the tracks already. You know, that shouldn't stop an NFL team. By any means. I mean, NFL teams shouldn't get wrapped into what the media narrative is, right? But I know the Bears have done their homework. I worked with Ryan Poles in Kansas City. He does a great job. I know they've vetted this whole thing thoroughly. But I know it's not consensus. This isn't something where Caleb Williams is number one on 32 boards right now. I have spoken to some teams that Jaden is that guy. This whole thing is really packed. There's no consensus order when you throw in J.J. McCarthy and Drake May. And even Michael Penix into that top five mix, you know. It's interesting. But, yeah, I do think there should have been more conversation there at the top.
Jim Nagy, again, the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl and longtime NFL scout, is all over the draft coverage, which gets going on Thursday. Okay, Jim, last year at this time, you gave us a name to watch out for, and his name was Tyson Bagent. Right. And we were like, all right, I guess, well, Shepherd University. We thought you were making that up. You weren't. It's a real place. And because basically you need three quarterbacks to get through a season, and like 60, 70, 80 quarterbacks actually take snaps during an NFL season, you need depth. Who's the Tyson Bagent? Who's the guy who's going to the quarterback who we're going to be scrambling to figure out who this person is and where did they come from? When a team is desperate this season?
Well, I'll say this. There's not another Tyson Bagent. He is one of one. The Shepherd. He went two and two last year as a starter for a Chicago Bears team that struggled. Think about that. It's pretty good. I can't dip down in the Division II ranks for you, but I will say a name that's off the radar, because all we're doing right now is talking about these top six guys, right? I mean, maybe a little Spencer Rattler sprinkled in there. But I would give you Michael Pratt from Tulane. Again, he's kind of in our backyard here in Mobile, playing over there in New Orleans. But he's a guy that really lifted that Tulane program. Back in the day, like when I started scouting, I mean, we used to put a lot of emphasis on that. You think about like Brett Favre, you know, taking Southern Miss and going into Tallahassee and beating Bobby Bowden's Florida State teams, and, you know, going on the road to Tuscaloosa and beating Alabama. So what Pratt did, you know, a year ago, they go to the Cotton Bowl. He beats Caleb Williams head to head if you do the quarterback versus quarterback thing. And then this year, their only real loss was to Ole Miss, and he didn't play in that game. They could have been in back-to-back January 6th bowl games with Michael Pratt. So he's a guy, again, I think he goes somewhere on day two, probably third round. But if we're sitting here in 3 or 4 years, like a Dak Prescott who went in the fourth round, or Kirk Cousins who went in the fourth round, like, man, this guy's a solid starter. I think it could be Michael Pratt.
Last one for me, Jim. So Jim Harbaugh is sitting there at number five with the Chargers. Possible Marvin Harrison Jr. falls to him. Do you think there's any way he would shock the world and take a left tackle, or actually a right tackle, either one, instead of one of the star receivers who might fall to him at five?
Yeah, I think I don't know this. There's no inside info, but I think if they stay at five, they're taking a wide receiver. This tackle class is deep enough. They could get one in the second round. I mean, there's good players like Roger Rosengarten from Washington. I mean, there's a slew of tackles that they could get, and they're looking for a right tackle. They've got their left tackle. You know, Rashawn Slater is a Pro Bowl level player at left tackle, so you could get the tackle. So, and again, and I don't know if it's Marvin Harrison Jr. That's another one. Like, that's not consensus either. There's teams that really love Malik Nabers, and there's teams that love Roma Dunze. And if you've dug into Roma Dunze's past and where he's come from, teams that really put an emphasis on grit and toughness, and which we know Jim Harbaugh does, Roma Dunze makes a lot of sense. So I would go get a guy to pair with Justin Herbert and give Justin a playmaker.
Jim, can't tell you how much we appreciate this. We value your expertise so much, and we know this is a busy time of year. So thank you, Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl.
Have fun, Jim, in Detroit. Say hi to everyone for us.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate that, Jim Nagy.
Yeah, by the way, we're not going to the draft this year. I heard it's going to be super cold there.
What are you, meteorologist on the side? You think Detroit's going to be cold this time of year, huh?
I actually heard, so there, it's funny, not that this is why, but there's going to be very, very few actual players there this year. For some reason,
we had the list, didn't we?
Yeah, it's way down this year, the number, and a lot of people are not going to Detroit. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's the weather. So that'll be interesting to see. A lot of, like, Knicks and Penix are not going.
Yeah. Can I just say that would be a red flag to me if I was a GM, if the player didn't want to go to Detroit for the draft,
right,
because it's cold in April. I know the Lions play inside, but if I'm a cold weather GM, like if I'm Buffalo, if I'm Green Bay, if I'm Cleveland, if I'm, you know, Cincinnati, that's an automatic cross off.
I was actually really talking about media friends.
But
but that being said, it's supposed to be kind of down. A lot of guys, there are a lot of reasons you might want to do something marketing elsewhere. That's been the trend. So last year, I think a ton of guys went. This year, I think the numbers could be way down.
See, I wasn't sure if maybe it was because guys, I get it, especially if you're a quarterback. Unless you really know that you're going in the first round or even the top of the first round, like Will Levis last year, I mean, that was painful to watch.
But that's just the quarterbacks. I mean, 85% of the people there would be non-quarterbacks.
Right, so the quarterbacks who are going to be, these are the quarterbacks who were invited. Jaden Daniels, Sam Hartman, Devin Leary, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Joe Milton, Bo Nix, Penix, Pratt, Radler. I don't know if all these guys are going to be here. Is that possible?
They were all invited.
Oh, sorry, that was the scouting combine. I'm like, what? No,
yeah, Sam
Hartman
was definitely not.
Like, why would they ever do that? Pardon me. No, to the draft. Looks like May and, why is this
I think
not
it's just Jaden May. Is J.J. McCarthy going? I think he is, right? Or is he the one who's not going?
I don't.
Somebody big is not going.
EJ, bail me out here. Why can't I get the invitees? Invited to the draft. This should be the easiest thing I could ever find. And it gave me scouting combine. How dare you, NFL.com. Again, scouting combine. Oh, here we go. Gotcha. All right. Stand by.
So 13 prospects, right?
Yes. All right. Here we go. You ready? Here are your quarterbacks. You've got Jaden Daniels, you've got Drake May, and you've got Caleb Williams. That looks like it's it for QBs. Yep.
That's
there you
it.
Go.
There's only 13 prospects that will be right at the in the green room.
So last year, 17 were officially there, but I remember there were a bunch of guys there who were not official too. So it's probably about 10 less than last year.
Yeah. Right now you got Caleb, Drake, Marvin Harrison, Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze, Dallas Turner, Tarian Arnold, Quinyon Mitchell, Latu, Brian Thomas Jr., J.C. Latham, and Darius Robinson are the only guys.
I feel like those guys are all going first
They're
round.
They're going early.
Yeah, I don't think anyone there is lasting in the second round.
So here's an interesting thing that Jim Nagy said, right? A couple, many interesting things. But the other one of them was he would definitely take Jaden Daniels, too, over Drake May. And I doubt that any kind of, you know, agent sending tweets or whatever would probably move them off that. And when push comes to shove, and that there should have been more conversation about Jaden and Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I know what he's talking about. If you want a fun experience before the draft, watch the YouTube clip of every throw Jaden made against Alabama. It's a virtuoso performance until he almost got killed.
Yeah, I was going to say he got de-cleated, but
that's a problem. Well, it was a dirty hit. They should have probably kicked Dallas Turner out of a game. But That being said, I mean, these actual games, are nobody is as good as Jaden. Although Caleb's film is, I'm sure, it's spectacular. I mean, Caleb's incredible, too. I kind of disagree. Like, I'm a big Jaden Daniels fan, have been all along.
Yep.
Still, Caleb Williams is, it's like, he's perfect. What is wrong with him? He's a can't-miss guy. So, I don't know. Here's the thing. Jim also said GMs are risk-averse. Like, they have ulterior motives. They want to keep their job.
Yeah, that is so the last thing that a fan wants to hear.
But I think there's a reality. He's basically said GMs want to make a pick that'll keep them employed for 3 years.
Yeah, I know. And I know that's the reality, but that's still tough to hear as a fan.
But if you're
I'm a GM, so basically I get to throw you-know-what up against the wall in a desperate attempt to save my job. So that's how we're ending up with some quarterback that no one believes in.
But I think his point was, if you're Ryan Poles, the Bears GM, and you pass on Caleb Williams and Caleb Williams becomes the next Patrick Mahomes, that would look worse. Well, you have to be somewhat risk averse.
And that's why I always said that the Bears were going to take Caleb, because Justin Fields, the old Caleb versus Justin Fields thing, it never held up because Fields wasn't good enough to hold off Caleb Williams. Yep. Okay. Yep. A lot there, so that's really cool. Coming up, we're separating some fact from fiction on this draft. We do that next.
All right, welcome back. The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org.
I think I got it this week.
I have a guess, too, but go ahead.
So EJ picks the Defensive Player of the Week. I think he went with Chet Holmgren.
Hmm.
Oklahoma City Thunder, game one against the Pels. They win 5 blocks for Chet.
I think he went Rudy Gobert because he's been trying to push this Timberwolves narrative.
his Timberwolves agenda?
And the Thunder Pelican series is a series that does not exist for all intents and purposes. I don't think. I mean,
that was a good first game, though. That was a fun one. 94-92, Sunday night. Late.
I mean, I'll bet you the Cleveland Magic will get one of the lowest ratings in NBA playoff history. That Pels. Thundership might as well not exist.
But it was a good game.
But it's irrelevant. You're playing a shadow of that Pelicans team. It's a totally non-series. Go ahead.
All right, so defensive player this week is Isaiah Hartenstein of the
Homer.
New York Knicks, who had 3 blocks in last night's game 2 win, including the game-saving block against Tyrese Maxey as he drove to the basket, getting a fingernail, as Maggie said earlier in the show, on the ball to deflect it, of course, keeping the Knicks 1-point lead. The Knicks would go on to win. It's not a defensive stat per se, but he also had a massive offensive rebound, of course, that also kept the team alive. So Isaiah Hartenstein, 3 blocks in the win, big block on on Maxey down the stretch, leads him to be my defensive player of the week.
So the fact that he led up over 30 points to a man on one leg, there's no problem with that.
He shot 29 shots, Embiid. 34 points and 29 shots. We'll take that from Isaiah Hartenstein.
I mean, I'm just saying, when the Knicks come in, you just gave an offensive rebound credit for defensive player of the week. That's how desperate you are to get the Knicks into this.
Yeah. He had the biggest block of the postseason so far.
I'm just kidding. No, he had a great job.
Perloff is deflated here, and I've got to be honest, you're with the rest of the audience because we put out on social media who had the more gut-wrenching loss last night, and it was your Sixers who are winning this poll 53% over the Lakers.
I don't understand. I mean, obviously, per one game, what happened to the Sixers is way worse than what happened to the Lakers, right? I mean, I understand big picture, maybe the Lakers, but the Lakers were in a tie game for the last 3 minutes of the game.
Well, may I also present our second poll, which was, how would you describe game 2 of Lakers-Nuggets? Nuggets won or Lakers blew it? Lakers blew it, also leading that poll.
I have a side poll that I think we need to pick up tomorrow. We kind of talked, where is Jokic on the all-time player list? Who's higher on the all-time player list, Kevin Durant or Jokic?
I mean, Durant's been in the league a lot longer.
God, my Twitter feed is like, it's not even close. It's Joker.
I'm telling you, and thank you. This is proving my point from yesterday, not to be that person, but this Suns situation and the Nets before that, this is hurting Durant's legacy. These last 4 years for him have hurt his long-term legacy.
But I don't know. But the thing is, his legacy was never, I mean, he's higher now than he was 4 years ago. He was like 18 and now he's up to 12. But what's he supposed to do? He's 35 years old.
No, but he was traded to the Suns to put together a super team.
Now, nobody thought that team was going to work. Nobody did. There's not a single – show me an NBA expert who said the Suns were going to win the title this year. They don't exist.
Well, I don't know about if it was win the title, but I think it was to have a bigger impact than now. And I think Durant for sure thought he's teaming up with Devin Booker, one of the best young players in the league, who's not as young anymore, but still young, and Bradley Beal, who's getting paid like a megastar.
It's so funny. To me, that team was close to irrelevant. I just didn't think they were in the discussion. Nobody was like, oh, man, the Nuggets are scared of this team.
I'm just telling you, this is hurting Durant. They're teaming up with Kyrie in Brooklyn, and then now this. People are not going to remember, well, they will, but the peak Durant of him winning back-to-back finals MVPs, like that feels far away.
The only thing that mattered with Durant was that he cannot ever get rid of the bus.
Yep.
Bus passenger.
We knew that bus rider.
Yeah, he'll never get over that. The fact that he chose the Warriors, that one move, doesn't matter. I mean, most players fade in their late 30s. I don't know why. What do you expect Kevin Durant to do?
Nuggets, the Suns, by the way, were second and third in preseason odds to win.
Yeah, they're sticky in Vegas, but do you see any expert who's picked them to do anything? I mean,
the season, there were some.
Really? I don't understand. Yeah. They have no bench and they have no front court.
I wasn't picking them. I kept telling you.
I just didn't think they'd be healthy. Part of it.
Do you even count Booker, Beal, and Durant? Is that a super team? Does that qualify as a super team?
If you took all their salaries, I bet it would equal super team.
No, but I'm serious. Like, is that a super team? Do you say, wow, the Suns super team?
I think that was formed to be a big three.
Yeah, it's weird. I feel like they were kind of, nobody wanted Beal's contract, I think, and they just sort of settled into this crew.
So here's something I just want to pull back from earlier, which was we were talking about the games last night, and both games had some interesting officiating and some foul calls. And that's been happening throughout the playoffs, even though they're this young playoffs. But even when they're going to the replay at times, they're replaying it and still seem to be getting the calls wrong in super-duper slow-mo and with all those camera angles. So I was telling you before about this Gilbert Arenas podcast episode where he has Evan Turner and Andre Iguodala, who are both on the show. And Evan Turner starts telling a story that was relayed to him in 2012. And this is when LeBron is on the Heat, and this is when the Heat and the Celtics were having these crazy battles back and forth. And he talked about being a young player on the 76ers at the time and not being the team that the league necessarily wanted to see go far, at least according to him.
This is the NBA. It's entertainment. Like, LeBron is in a Heat or waiting. Would you rather watch the Celtics or the Sixers play the Heat? I'm going to be honest with you. I'm on a team. I wouldn't even watch the Sixers play the Heat type like,
you got to appreciate it.
But mind you, I'm young, 22, 23. I'm like, damn, you know what I mean? So it's like, so we get in this game, you know how much money the NBA is going to lose? Like this, type. I'm like, I guess, like a decent amount. It's like, would you watch that game next week if it was the Heat versus the Sixers? I'm like, nah. It's like, okay then. So like, that's why I'm telling you, take M's and M's from this. I'm like, what? He's like, millions of memories, because this is entertainment.
So that was Evan Turner talking on Gilbert Arenas' podcast last year, and anyone who ever had a conspiracy theory about the NBA, Evan Turner basically put gasoline and lit a match to your theories or anyone's theories that the NBA tries to push the stars as far as they can.
Yeah, I mean, was that more of a, like, is he saying, yeah, well, we all know the stars get calls? Or is that like a real conspiracy there?
He said that if you're going to beat a good team and a team with lots of stars, if you got to beat them by 15 to beat them by one.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think it's always
because
been
of
that
officials.
Way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I love Michael Jordan. He's the greatest player ever, but he got every call. That's fact.
No doubt. Andrew Bogish is here. He's got headlines for us. Hello.
Hello. Let's stick on that topic here. A lot of missed opportunities. Also, a lot of complaining last night in the NBA. LeBron leaving his post-game press conference early, upset with the refs after losing at the buzzer in Denver. And Joel Embiid was PO'd after his Sixers gave one away at MSG, the Knicks scoring 8 points in the final 28 seconds to win 104-101. In between, Jalen Brunson and Dante DiVincenzo threes, Philly tried to call time to protect possession, but didn't get that whistle.
Everybody on the floor was trying to call a timeout, myself included, Nico, coach on the sideline, but that didn't give it to us, but, forget about the timeout. There's a bunch of fouls. That's unacceptable.
The Sixers whining will apparently go as far as filing an actual grievance with the league. LeBron didn't like some of the decisions in that game and in his, a 101-99 loss in Denver, despite his Lakers leading by 20 in the third. Again, Jamal Murray hitting a fall away over Anthony Davis at the horn for that win. The Cavs and Magic, meanwhile, played their game two without incident. Cleveland taking a 2-0 lead, 96-86, with Donovan Mitchell scoring 23. The fight over owning the Minnesota Timberwolves reportedly go to mediation starting next Wednesday. Glenn Taylor canceled his deal with Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lowry in late March, saying they missed deadlines to finish their purchase of the club. A-Rod and Lowry say they were following the guidelines, and Taylor is having seller's remorse. And the exclusive negotiating window between the NBA and ESPN and TNT Sports ended at midnight Eastern without an extension of their current TV rights deal, as far as we know. It's likely that at some point those two will basically keep their same inventory of games, but the NBA could add a streamer like Amazon Prime, and said streamer might end up with a conference final or NBA finals at some point during this long-term agreement.
Wow, the finals? Yeah. They're really going to give the finals to a streaming service?
I mean, it's
the
bad.
The Athletic says that's possible.
Wow. Yeah, no, I was thinking that. I mean, first of all, if the Nuggets beat the Lakers, then this is the NBA playoffs. That it's a tree falling in the woods. No one's going to see any of this. So if they go to a streamer, forget it. Dead.
I think
dead that, in the water.
I mean, listen, they put all the games on ABC, and it still has trouble sometimes getting these huge ratings. So
I mean,
that's what's the opposite of that is going to a streaming service.
Well, Amazon Prime, though, I feel like everyone has Prime to get the discount on ordering Amazon. Maybe that's a little easier.
Well, the NFL. If they
go to Peacock, can you imagine a finals on something that's even a little more niche than that? That'd be crazy.
Well, just do a complete deal with NBC. Go back to NBC, do a lot of the games on NBC, do some games on Peacock.
Yeah, I don't think NBC is involved in this. The names I saw yesterday were Amazon, Google, Apple TV.
Well, that's ridiculous.
What's NBC Google is in YouTube?
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I mean,
could the finals on YouTube TV? I mean, listen, you're still the audience is going to be less, but like, you know,
I mean,
it's a pretty good product for Red Zone.
Last year, remember, there was a huge issue in game one of the Eastern Conference Finals where YouTube TV people basically didn't see the last 4 minutes of Heat Celtics.
So oh, I don't
massive,
remember that.
Massive issue. It was either that last year or 2 years ago. I forgot which season, but essentially it kept replaying a commercial over and over again.
Oh, for that's brutal.
So, I mean, the fact that anybody's even discussing this is a little nerve-wracking considering they just had a big snafu regarding a streaming service recently in the playoffs.
Imagine if it was the SGA Chet commercial just over and over again. What could be the pinnacle annoying commercial that could just be running over and over while you're trying to watch the last 5 minutes of a big game? Probably the SGA and Chet one.
Get stuck in your head. I have a question.
Incredible how much people hate that commercial, by the way. My girlfriend doesn't care anything about what's on TV when it comes to basketball. That commercial comes on. She's like, I cannot stand that stupid
so
commercial
bad.
And those stupid guys. I think this is the NBA's way of trying to make the Thunder the new villains of the NBA.
They're young, wearing black
nobody,
like trench coats.
Nobody knows who they are.
Yeah.
Let's just make them really annoying so that people will then want to see them lose.
Informal poll. All right, if you didn't have to watch it for work and the finals went to YouTube TV and you don't have YouTube, would you pay extra for the finals?
100%. But that's me.
No.
I think I would. I'm a pretty big sports fan,
yeah.
Even not for work.
Bogus.
I mean, I have Apple to watch baseball. I've got all the things.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I guess it depends on how they would do it. Like, I wouldn't switch my service altogether to have YouTube TV, but if it's like, whatchamacallit, Sunday Ticket, and it was just like an extra thing, then possibly.
Yeah.
No?
I had a principle. Well, I would not buy it. I'd watch it at my friend's house, but I just think that it would make
your friend's house for a week and a half. Finals could be a 7-game series. That's a lot of imposing.
I don't know why. It'd make me furious. I would be so mad if they put that on streaming. I feel like it's such a middle finger to fans who are already not watching you on TV. I know a lot. NBA has different ways where people watch it. A lot of people watch highlights on YouTube. But that's so annoying, right? Or I don't even like the fact that I have to go from Amazon to cable on Thursday night to watch a college football game. If they do the finals, I can't believe I'm the only one who'd be upset about this.
The one wrinkle on this is something Adam Silver's talked about a lot, is that the one thing they've seen through their data is that a lot of their fans watch NBA games or NBA clips on the internet. And
right.
That
so they're the trying problem to be where
been,
the fans are.
The problem has been trying to get those people who watch clips online to watching games on television. So this could be their thing to say, hey, our audience is mostly online anyway.
Yeah, it's a unique
more so
problem.
Than other
yeah.
leagues, let's go where they are. I don't know if this is the remedy, though, but that could be part of this.
But is watching a Wemby highlights the same as watching a sporting event?
I think not. I think yeah. I don't think it's smart. But I think to his if you were going to shoot him some bail, that is probably what he would
that's
say.
That's crap. That just means I want to get as much money as humanly possible for my owners. That
Bingo.
Has nothing to do with
but
media.
But to be honest, though, like, we're going there with, I think, almost every sport, to be fair. Not yeah, today, maybe the first to be do this. I don't think so. But Super Bowl is definitely going on streaming at some point.
I that's, don't think so. I disagree
gonna,
with you on
that's
that.
That's going to happen.
There's no way the Super Bowl is going
they
on streaming.
Pay, they make you pay $80 for a boxing match. You don't think they're going to? You don't think the people are going to pay money to watch the Super Bowl? Of course they would.
I'm so positive they will not.
That's a John Skipper, the former president of ESPN. That's his big bet, is that at some point in the very near future, the Super Bowl will be a pay-per-view event.
Absolutely.
I'll bet you guys any amount of money the NFL will not do. Why does the NFL need to do that? Why would they take all that negative publicity? A kind of negative publicity, they wouldn't, you know, they have the head injury issue, they have all the domestic violence. None of that would, that would all pale in comparison to how much hatred
they money they would
that.
Generate, though, from putting their games on a streaming situation. Billions, maybe?
Like, the cost would be too much.
They generate so much money to begin with without doing that.
They have infinite
That's
money already.
The NFL
they
before,
have
though.
Infinite plus. There is no way they would do that because they'd be considered un-American. Be a terrible move.
Here's the thing, though. They still felt like they got a bump from Taylor Swift, right? Like, they're still trying to reach even more segments of the population.
So they're going to cut their viewership in half?
That's why I'm kind of agreeing with you. Yeah. Like, they're still trying to find new audiences and new audiences. I get the bird in the hand versus, you know, two in the bush, I guess, if you want to use that analogy for paying for it. But I think the NFL, look at what they're doing. They're forcing and shoving the Europe games down our throat. Brazil now. Believe me, if they could play a game in... You know, in India, they would do it. If they could do it in China, they would do it.
They've been trying for 30 years. They've had an office dedicated to China. They've been trying so hard to get into China like the NBA did, and they haven't been able to do it. You're so right. The Europe thing, the Brazil, Mexico, they want a bigger audience, not a smaller audience. And they don't need that. It's a cash grab if you go to Amazon. It's not a good move.
Yeah. However, if you gave me a package on streaming where I could watch all the Caitlin Clark games, I would do it. I would buy the WNBA package streaming just to watch that.
I'll be on
what
anyway.
The Apple Plus did with Messi.
I got to tell you right. I'll tell you right now, by the way, about the streaming. Like, the NBA audiences in 20 years, it's not going to be a major sport like it is now. It's going to be like what happened to baseball is going to happen to the NBA.
Regionalized? No.
I just think the popularity peaked in 1997, and I just don't think it's going to be the same.
I think generational.
I think the one difference, though, is. Young people still love stars, and the NBA has individual stars. These guys are all individual brands, and I think that that's not going to go away.
Well, also,
young
people
baseball doesn't have that problem.
Young people
baseball
are playing baseball. Look at Bogus's kids.
Young people don't like sports. They don't watch sports. They play e-games. It's just they're never going to recreate this old person audience, like idiots like me.
But I think the interest in these players and these guys, I think that's not going anywhere, which is why I don't think NBA will suffer the exact same fate as Major League Baseball.
We've left Bogus no more time.
Sorry, Bogus.
What else you got? We've got one time for maybe one more.
Bring the Islanders back.
Oh, they lost to the Hurricanes in a completely uneventful game, 5-3. Carolina leads 2-0.
As if Pete hasn't been through enough today.
And prayers to the Chicago White Sox. 7-0 losers in Minnesota last night. They are now 3-19. They have been shut out. Guys, it's April 23rd. They have been shut out 8 times already. At least once in every series they have played so far
you
this season.
You want to talk about an organization that's run terribly? The Chicago White Sox.
Thanks, Pete.
Apparently
we're getting that memo. What are they? As a team, I think they're slashing like 170 something.
And then they've had some significant injuries, but that still does not give them a free pass for 3-19 and being shut out in more than a third of their games.
They shouldn't be worse than the A's, and they are.
They are.
Odyssey.
There are three teams with a lower than 30% winning percentage right now in baseball. That's terrible. I mean, blue sky is blue, but I mean, I know the Astros are one of them. You think maybe they would fix themselves, but that can't be good for baseball. I mean, they have multiple franchises that are they're on to 110 loss seasons.
Well, can I introduce you to the Pistons and the Wizards and kind of this? Well, not the Spurs. They were better than them, those other two teams. Bad teams happen.
I know. But that's bad. No, you're right.
I'm sorry. As a team, they're batting 190.
Not good.
Is that bad? Thank you, Bogus. Appreciate that. Coming up, we've got the sleeper team who will be drafting a quarterback this week. Maggie and Perloff. Infinity Sports Network.
We go to overtime. Murray makes a move. Gets it.
Kevin Harlan, TNT, as only he can do it. It was incredible game last night. Incredible comeback for the Nuggets. Just gut-wrenching if you're the Los Angeles Lakers. Perloff, call it now. Will the Lakers win a game in this series?
Yes, the Lakers break the Nuggets' win streak in L.A. One, maybe two games. This could go six games, but the Nuggets definitely win the series.
So here's a question. How do you think the Lakers are going to win two games if you think it's, you know, they really don't have a shot against the Nuggets and the Nuggets don't do... You know, the Nuggets, you said, were not so surprised that they came back and won that game last night.
Well, just because the Nuggets get bored, play with their food.
Get bored.
I think the Nuggets had one series that won six games last year. I think it was against the Suns.
Yep, they lost. I thought it was it one game or was it two? It might have been two.
Yeah, I think everybody else, I think the Nuggets will let their foot off the gas, too. I mean, you saw last night the Lakers could have easily won that game. So I think they break through at home because there's not such a disparity. How many close games in a row? You can't win 10 5-point games in a row.
Well, it's they've won literally 10 in a row.
I know. You can't win 11 in a row.
Okay. That's the
expression.
Line.
Yeah, yeah.
I
like the Lakers in game three. I just think the Nuggets, or they have to have a letdown. I mean, Michael Porter has been consistently hot now for way too long for him. He's going to get
cold. Considering the tough week he had last week,
I don't think that. I think it actually is inspiring him to play better, but he's been so hot, there's just no way that he can keep that up. And he's been saving them a lot of times where it looks like they are going to give up a possession. He hits a three with no time left on 24.
Yeah, and it's just tough week for him. Obviously, his brother is Jontay Porter, who has been wrapped up in this gambling scandal. His other brother, whose name is escaping right now, is the younger brother who's playing college basketball at the University of Denver, was recently sentenced to 6 years in prison for drunken driving. So it's been a really, really tough week, obviously, for Porter and even tougher for the people who are on the other side.
I think he's really interesting he could really be a breakout NBA star. I mean, if
Porter?
I think he is really one of the guys like, whoa, he's young and he is talented. And the fact that he's healthy is incredible. I feel like if they go all the way, he's going to start to get a lot more attention. I wonder if he gets his own team at some point.
Man, it's funny because he had that injury issue and they still paid him anyway. And that at first was looking like a really bad move. And now it's been paying dividends. Obviously.
Well, he would have been the number one pick, but he fell to 13 because he had no back. But the fact that his back is there, I just think he's an interesting player to watch. Like, wow, could he be one of the top eight players in the NBA in 3 years? I think so.
So I think I'm probably going to say the Lakers are not going to win a game.
Feel like I swept?
Yeah. I think the only way it would happen is if the Nuggets go up 3-0 and then they let their foot off the gas and the Lakers win a game at home and then they go finish it off gentleman sweep style in Denver. But I do not think the Lakers are going to win a game. For as mentally tough as LeBron and AD are, I'm sure, I just think this has to be so demoralizing. I mean, again, you've lost every which way you can possibly lose to Denver. You've lost close games where you've played great. Now you lost a game where you had a 20-point lead. You have to just think nothing we do is ever going to be good enough to really get over the hump with these guys. And I do think there is a mental aspect to it.
Yeah, but all you need is a little cold shooting from Denver.
They had that last night.
Yeah, but not. I mean, Jokic, Porter, and Gordon were all above 50%. Like, they need. This is going to sound like a stretch. They need Jokic not to hit a lot of shots one game.
I mean, he's the most consistent player.
I know. I know. That's the problem.
This is not a hot and cold kind of guy. Wow. That show went fast. Thank you to EJ Stewart. Thank you to Pete Bilotti, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, Weedo's Coffee Drinkers, Jim Nagy, who joined us. If you miss any of the show, the Maggie and Perloff podcast is where you gotta be. If you could leave us a 5-star review, we'd be so, so grateful. Thanks, everyone. See you tomorrow.